Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John Scott joining us on our Western Hotline from Spectrum Sports. By the way, since John is at Spectrum Sports, I should tell you, Syracuse fans, good news. Spectrum is going to be carrying the new ACC network, so you'll be able to watch a whole bunch of Syracuse and ACC games if you're a Spectrum Sports.
Don't miss that first that opener against Liberty.
The big game.
Oh, yeah.
Building up to the Holy Cross match. John is down in Charlotte. He's going to be covering the game tonight. Was down in Spartanburg as well. John, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, good. Well, hopefully you'll see a PI challenge tonight, John, as you're hanging out in the press box. Either that or maybe some icing of the kicker. Remember, Sean McDermott iced a kicker last week, and so did Ron Rivera as a favor to the Chicago Bears.
And these two with a good relationship because of what happened this week. I wonder if they will also do things in the game on purpose
PI challenges
to help each other.
Yes, so that should be fun. Enjoy that tonight.
Yeah, as long as we need and avoid overtime, I think I don't really care what happens.
Overtime and preseason football. What do you care about tonight, John? We don't worry about the results at all, but you know, we had Sal on, we were talking about it with him. When you know, you go to the game tonight, you got a lot of different things going through your head that you've been tracking at training camp. Who or what is there what's uppermost for game two for you?
I want to continue to see the development of the chemistry and cohesion with Josh Allen and the passing game. I think we all were surprised to some extent last week how they came out and threw the ball, I believe, 8 out of the first 10 plays of the game.
Yeah.
And that's certainly not what we expect to see come week one of the regular season. They probably will go back, I would assume, to more of a run-first offense. But I think they're looking at it as, we know what we have for the most part in the running back group. We need to expedite the process of building chemistry and working on the timing and seeing what we have from this redeveloped wide receiver and passing game in the preseason. So let's oversaturate our play calling on that side of things. And so I want to see that. And Cole Beasley had a great little nugget after the second joint practice the other day saying, it's great working against another team because that's more like a test. Even in a practice, when you go against your own team, like in training camp back at Fisher and now back in Orchard Park, it's more like a quiz. And Josh Allen threw a ball on Wednesday to Cole Beasley that he admitted, I wasn't even really ready for it. It got on me so quick. But he then added to Josh afterwards, you do that all the time, and I'm going to get you a lot of yards after the catch. Let's see the development between him and Beasley. Let's see John Brown get a little more involved. Let's see how all of those pieces are starting to come together. So that's the number one thing I'll be looking for this evening is Josh Allen, the passing game, the timing, and seeing how that continues to develop here in week two of the preseason.
Beasley's been interesting, John. Like, you know, you mentioned, like he was also talking this week about that chemistry with Josh Allen and how they're working on, you know, with all these option routes in the playbook, how Josh has to anticipate, really think like Beasley's thinking and how he's got to anticipate where he's going to break. And they seem to be developing that. And I think he's the guy who also said one of the things he likes about Daboll, Brian Daboll, is that he'll let players come to him with suggestions. And I hope I have this right. I think it was Cole Beasley said he actually had gotten a play from June Jones recently, the former head coach, and related to Brian Daboll, and Daboll put it in, you know, into a practice, like said, okay, sure, let's try that. Like, he seems really open to hearing from players about if you've got an idea or there's plays you're not comfortable with. So it seems like there's a nice give and take going on with some of the newcomers and the offensive coordinator and the quarterback this season.
Yeah, you're right. That was Cole Beasley who said that after Wednesday's practice. And he also joked, of course it worked, or I would not be relaying this story
that's right,
to you
sure.
guys. Whether or not we see that in the game this week or they save it for the regular season remains to be seen. But, yes, and Josh Allen has discussed, dating back to OTAs and minicamp, how he has a relationship and dialogue now with Brian Daboll to where they discuss things based on last season and now Josh's development and understanding. these are plays I like. Let's do more of this. These are plays I don't like. And Josh says those, they just throw out of the playbook. And that's the development not only between Josh, and then Josh can now go to his wide receivers and say, this is what you like. I noticed these are the types of throws. This is how you want it. And that whole cohesion seems to be working together, and that can only benefit the passing game. And it's good to see these, at least them saying it, happening this quickly and early in the preseason.
John Scott from Spectrum Sports with us on our Western Hotline, 803-0550 for your Bills questions, comments, opinions. The when it comes to Josh Allen, since you've been, you know, you've been at every practice, you're watching all the stuff. Last year, when we talked about him, John, I think a lot of us would have agreed, Josh Allen post-injury showed some improvement from Josh Allen pre-injury. So Josh Allen, the guy who ended the season, or even if it's the Josh Allen you were watching in limited media availabilities in the spring, but Josh where he is now, as opposed to, let's make it easy on you, the guy who ended the year last year, what differences, if any, do you see on him so far this summer?
I've noticed a concerted effort to take those short and intermediate routes. Or maybe he does that more so than going deep on purpose to kind of hammer it into his brain, because we know obviously last year he really threw the ball down the field more so than any quarterback in the entire league, and he didn't really connect on a lot of them either. So I've noticed him working the short and intermediate routes and taking the check down and understanding that I just need to get it to my guys in a proper spot, in a proper time, and let them do the work. It doesn't have, you can still get a 10-yard play by throwing it 3 yards to Cole Beasley if you do it in the right timing and you do it, you put it on him in the right place, because that's what those guys are meant to do. He doesn't have to do everything from point A to point B to get all of those yards. He can, this offense can be effective, and he can make the right plays by going short to intermediate, and those can turn into the 10 to 15-yard plays because of what those guys can do after the catch.
The one of the other things I want to ask you about, young guys, you know, whether it's draft picks or even second-year players. Last week we were talking a lot about Devin Singletary. You know, we've been tracking Ed Oliver, Cody Ford. Who are the young guys that have impressed you the most through the summer, the practices and the first game against the Colts?
Devin Singletary is certainly at the top of the list. I think he's been great. And when they drafted him, I studied and looked at all the running backs. They kind of were all in a cluster to me in that like 2, 3, 4th round grouping. When you see a guy that's as small as he is, but then you hear Brandon Bean say he can make people miss in the phone booth, you couldn't really see that in practice. And I think you saw little snippets of that last week in the first preseason game. On the defensive side of things, it's not a big name, and I don't even know if he's going to make the roster, but UV's Cam Lewis continues to be in the conversation of the coaching staff, and now you've seen him pretty much be solidified in the second-team conversation at cornerback. That's just interesting to me because from a UV standpoint, all the eyes were on Tyree Jackson and his pursuit of trying to make the roster as the team's third quarterback, and Cam Lewis was kind of an afterthought even on UB over the past few years. And here's this guy who Sean McDermott has had high praise for, Leslie Frazier has said good things about. And that's a guy that maybe it is because he's a UB guy, and I wouldn't necessarily care who's going to try to win the final cornerback spot. But it's just interesting to me that he's gone from maybe an undrafted afterthought to, I would say, at least really seeming solidly in a practice squad conversation with an outside shot of making this team out of camp if he continues to play well.
It's all because he's a UB guy, because you know what? Tyree Jackson's the same way. Like with Josh Allen here, it's not like if the Bills brought in an undrafted free agent quarterback, we might normally say, hey, you never know, maybe they struck gold to see what they, but Josh Allen is here, it's his job, and the only reason why I was excited about the second half of last week's game was to watch Tyree Jackson. So I think when it comes to Cam Lewis, for me, I'm with you, John. I think it's all about the fact that he's a UB guy trying to earn a spot, at least on the practice squad here. The one other guy real quick before I let you go, the other young guy I think to make note of, because I didn't mention this earlier, is Darryl Johnson. I don't, you know, they'll keep at least 4 defensive ends. I don't know if they're going to keep 5. Jerry Hughes is here. Shaq is here. Murphy's here. A lot of people are saying good things about Mike Love being here. Darryl Johnson has really impressed in practice and in the game against the Colts. I think that's one of the other draft pick young guys to watch about whether or not he can get himself a spot on the 53-man roster.
Absolutely, and this is something I've talked with Sal about throughout camp when trying to figure out how the back end of the roster will shake out. The Bills have shown under Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, they really value their draft picks. And when it comes down to roster decisions, like you see at the end, like I always go like to Saran Neal. Last year during training camp, Saran Neal didn't do anything, in my opinion, to deserve making the final 53-man roster. However, he was a fifth-round pick of the team, and you're not going to cut a fifth-round pick. I look at a guy like Boshon Joseph. He's a fifth-round pick. I don't really see him doing a whole lot during training camp, and there's been a lot of other guys in the linebacker room that have been named that you would think would be ahead of him from the final 53, but you're probably not going to cut a fifth-round pick. I know Daryl Johnson is not as high of a draft pick, but you're right. In a logjam there, if it's between maybe Mike Love or Daryl Johnson, I tend to think they're going to go with the really physically unique type defensive end who they drafted over a guy that, yeah, he's still young and they've developed him through the practice squad, but he's not their hand-picked draft pick and they use their draft capital. So that's when it's interesting. He did play well. He's a monster. He's 6'6" and he's fast and he's still very raw. So I agree with you. He has stood out. Let's see how he does once again in preseason action. And it'll be interesting how the back end of that defensive line really stands out, because maybe they'll not keep as many tight ends to add an extra defensive end or things like that when the roster shakes out at the end of the preseason.
John Scott, Spectrum Sports, joining us. You can follow him on Twitter, at JohnScottTV.
So does what happens in Spartanburg stay in Spartanburg? I mean, you got the whole Bills media assembled down there. Golf, frivolity.
Frivolity?
I mean, you would
do
think.
Do we know about confirmed frivolity?
Well, yeah, you know.
Or rumored frivolity. You've
got some characters down there.
Yeah, I mean, I wish all the ice cream and food I ate in Spartanburg stayed down there, but.
No. We want people. We want bar stories, and specifically, you know, if you got anything on Capaccio, that'd be pretty good.
Just ask him about his caddying around downtown Spartanburg. That's a pretty good story.
Hmm.
All right.
Okay, I'll text him and see if it's good for air. Thanks for coming on, John. Enjoy the game tonight.
Hey, thank you guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.